everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Now, today, I have a wonderful guest who I am very excited to talk to. Lisa Jeswin has her own radio program on Empower Radio called Real Life with Lisa Jeswin. She also was a fixture in Detroit radio for 23 years, sharing her positive personality and infectious laugh. I love Lisa's laugh. Now, we all know, there it goes. That's it. I love it. Now, we all know that staying positive when we experience challenges is difficult, but one that Lisa has faced countless times as a 2-time kidney transplant recipient and cancer survivor. Now, I first met Lisa when she was a host on WNIC 100.3 in Detroit. I had just coined myself as the Love Doctor, and I sent out press releases to all the TV and radio stations in the Detroit area. It was my first live radio interview ever, Valentine's Day 2003, and Lisa and Chuck Gatica were the morning hosts of the FM station. I remember so vividly, it was 7 a.m. in the morning, and when I walked into the studio, wow. Lisa was totally energetic. She was so awake and she was smiling. She actually also looked great as well. And I remember thinking, OMG, where did she get all that energy? Now, at the end of the segment, we also played the dating game. And I was asked to pick from 5 single guys who Lisa should choose for her Valentine's Day date. Who was she most compatible with out of the 5 guys? Lisa totally put me on the spot, but I didn't mind at all. And I actually picked the man she really was hoping to go out with. Phew, right? I did it. Now, ever since that day, Lisa and I have been colleagues and friends. So I'm so excited for Lisa to join me today as my guest and discuss strategies to stay positive given life challenges and how to embrace the power of you. So welcome, Lisa.
Hey, Terry, we are so excited to have you here on Empower Radio. Thank you. Oh. Thank you for being with us. And I love being a guest on your show. I'm so happy to be a part of the maiden voyage here. And yes, Terry is been such a good friend of mine for all these years, and she's been very patient and kind as I go through the process of finding the right person to be in my life. Because
yes, and now Lisa, wait a minute, I have to ask, that's my first question. I'm the Love Doctor, right?
Yes.
Are you currently in a relationship?
I am.
Ooh, it sounded so tentative.
Because it's with myself. I am in a relationship with myself at this point. And it's always great to have that great relationship with yourself and know that, you know, I'm okay. Whether this person has shown up in my life yet or not does not really matter. That I will be okay no matter what. And that's been a really long, hard struggle of mine that I've had to really work on that. And I've done...
I love it, Lisa. Yeah. I love it because the relationship with you is so important. And that's actually probably, I would argue, the most important relationship that we all have, and it influences our relationships with other people.
Well, when, you know, when Dr. Terry was put on the spot, I had gone out, this is, you know, back in radio, and we had this dating game type thing. But what the precursor to that was, I went out on a date with 5 men at the same time. And all I can say is everybody should try it. It was really a lot of fun. It really was. I've never had so many doors opened for me and chairs pulled out. It was great. They were all kind of vying, you know, jockeying for position and let me help you with the code and let me get this. And, you know, it was really kind kind of cool. And then I had these little like 2-3 minute dates, separate dates, where I would go off and speak with just each one of them to find out a little bit more about them. So
I remember that.
And it was exhausting. But it was,
you know,
fun.
That's hard, five people at once. Now, I know you're not the love doctor, right? But just tell us some of your own do's and don'ts on first dates. You have any?
Oh, yeah. I got a whole load of those.
Yeah. Tell me.
Okay. You might not want to start a conversation with, "I've been electrocuted." That's probably not a good opening line on a date.
Is that true, first of all?
That is true.
Okay, I agree.
True.
Then you might not want to start with
that. Don't start with that. You know, and I'm also going to go with the specifics. Steer clear of politics and religion if you can. Okay. It just on a first date, try and keep things as light and breezy as you can. You know, talk about your surroundings, where you are. And a really fun one, and this is actually a good do, is there was someone on a date one time and he said, "Do you want to play the alphabet game?" And I was thinking, all right, well, I don't know. But I said, okay.
I don't even know what that is.
All right, well, get this. So the alphabet game. And he said, all right, this is how it goes. We are going to start with the letter A and go through the alphabet and switch back and forth. And the person has to say a word and then do a story about that. So for example, he said a airplane, and I went, oh, okay. Well, 3 weeks ago I went and I visited my friend in Colorado, blah, 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 blah. And then it turns into this whole discussion about, you know, travel. And of course, if you're having some adult beverages, by the time you get to S, it's really funny.
It's really funny. Now, wait, I actually like that. Okay, Lisa, were you saying that was a don't?
That was a do. I said, this is one
good.
That
this
is a do. An absolute do.
I like
do.
It a lot. Because think about the questions that people come to on first dates.
Yeah.
They're always so nervous what to ask. This actually opens up the door for people to talk about their experiences, their past, and it's very creative. I like it
a lot. Oh, yeah, because you can pick anything at all, you know, and like I said, by the time you, well, it was really funny. We got to the M, and
right?
He said the word marriage, and I looked at him and I said, I tried it once. That's my answer to that.
But I like that a lot.
It opens
now,
things
okay,
up.
Now, okay, Lisa, I'm pushing.
Sure,
now,
sure.
You said you have a relationship with yourself. Uh-huh. Are you currently in a romantic relationship or are you single?
I am single and I would very much love to be connecting with someone and being in a relationship. And it's been 17 years since my divorce. I don't think I could be more ready if I tried. So how's that for an answer?
Oh, I love it. Okay. And I'm just pushing that out to my listeners. Lisa is ready. And so she knows herself. She's confident. Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay. Just listeners, you just heard that. Now let's change topics for
sure.
A second, Lisa.
Sure.
Now, as I said at the beginning of the program, you're a 2-time kidney transplant recipient. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what happened and what age you were when this happened.
Sure. excuse me. I was born with what's just called dysplastic kidneys, which means they were too small. So at age 5, 6, my parents kind of knew that eventually one day I'd have to have transplants. But I was luckily kept from that until I was a little bit older. They let me be a kid for a little while. At age 7, I started going to clinics and getting my blood drawn. And even then, I didn't really understand what was happening to me. I just thought, well, kids go get their blood drawn. I guess this is what I do. At age 12, mm-hmm. I went on dialysis for the first time. And I stayed on dialysis from age 12 to age 16, where I went and was attached to a machine for 4 hours at a time, 3 days a week. And
wow.
I did that from age 12 to age 16. And a lot that happens. Those are really impressionable years. And during that time is when you really start, you know, liking boys and going on dates and, you know, doing all this stuff. I never did that. I was always sick or I was away. So I literally did not have a boyfriend until after college.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't
mm-hmm.
have a boyfriend. And it wasn't that I didn't know how to. I just think I was nervous or scared or whatever it was. So because I was dealing, my focus was always health issues. So when
right.
some people are worried about, oh, you know, this guy likes me or whatever, I got to get up and get driven down to Children's Hospital where I got to go on a dialysis machine and save my life. And mm-hmm. so that's where my focus always was.
And it seems reasonable, right? Oh. I mean, you can't focus on others or trying to have a relationship with others where you're given that you're trying to stay healthy and focused mm-hmm. and work on your own health.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, and that happens, you know, you can replace, you know, all my transmits with whatever's going on in your life and know that there sometimes there are things that take you away from working on your own relationship or wanting to get into a relationship. But I always wanted it because on top of this, I have an identical twin sister and an older sister, 2 years older, and they always had boyfriends, always.
Wow.
And so I would sort of covet what they had because I wanted boys to really like me. And they didn't. And I really struggled with mm-hmm. what was wrong with me. Why do you like my sister and not me? And mm-hmm. so even through college, I had a harder time connecting with people from the standpoint of picking the right people. So I think I kind of sabotaged myself all along because I didn't really believe that I was beautiful.
Right.
So right. I picked the wrong type of people who eventually ended up hurting me.
Right.
Right. Because we got to be responsible, right?
Exactly. Now, I'm sure listeners can relate to the outcome, Lisa. We all have things that happened in our childhood, obviously not like yours, perhaps. So how did you stay positive through all these challenges? And how would you think listeners should as well?
What was really big for me was comedy and music. Comedy and music. I was obsessed with Carol Burnett and still am to this day and always watched her shows, and music was another really big one because it allowed me to come out of where I was. And this sounds a little bit like an out of body experience, but it was when you are having things done to you and you need to escape out of the pain of what is occurring, music allowed me to feel a little bit comfortable, like almost like I wasn't there. So,
and so did you play it? Is that what you did? Mm-hmm. And just listen, what are some of the, can you share with us some of the songs that you listen to or listen to as you having a negative challenge? Any favorites? Doesn't have to be. It can just be general music if that's the case.
The artist that I've actually seen the most in concert is Billy Joel.
Oh, and yes. One of my favorites too.
You know, I mean, he's an excellent songwriter and there was always like a story and I could escape inside that story. You know, I was sitting there, you know, pretending that I'm enjoying a bottle of red or a bottle of white, you know, right at that Italian restaurant and just pretend that I was there. Not when I was a child, of course, because I can't drink. But, you know, wondering what did that look like? Those two people having that date and then the whole story that followed. You know, I really enjoyed his music. I would listen to that and anything that sort of had a repetitive motion, because sometimes I would just hum in my head to just pull away from whatever was occurring. So does that answer your question? I hope so.
Yes, that is so good. So comedy and music are one way that we can deal with negativity in our lives and overcome and cope. Now, you said you didn't have a boyfriend until after college. What was the shift? Was there a shift or a change that then allowed you to let go of the past or feel more confident with yourself?
Mm-hmm. Are you ready for a whole bunch of truth?
Yes, absolutely.
Full disclosure.
That's what we're here for.
All right, everybody, full disclosure. I was 29 years old and I didn't want to be a 30-year-old virgin. Mm-hmm. That's okay. As honest as I can be. And right. I had such a hang up about my body that no wonder I didn't want any man near me or touching me. And I literally at 29, I remember saying, I don't want to be a 30-year-old virgin. Right. And so I got into a relationship and that took care of that.
Yes.
But I did realize that my inability to connect and allow people to touch me had a lot to do with what happened to me as a child because of all of the, and I'm using this in air quotes, violations that were done to me as a child. I associated that someone touching me or even the sex in itself as a violation rather than an expression of love or connection. That's why I waited so long. And and then I went crazy. I dated different people after that, but I realized I kept, you know, calling the wrong type of people to me because I was still fairly new at that, even in my 30s, being able to know who to date and how.
Well, you know, interesting, Lisa, I think it's all about trust. I talk a lot about trust and that being the essential ingredient in our romantic relationships, but also our friendships and other kinds of relationships. But the trust is always a two-way street. That person needs to be trustworthy, but we also have to have the ability to trust. And sometimes when we have challenges in our past and our childhood, that prevents us from being able to trust. Any violation emotionally, physically can influence our inability to trust. And so when we're able to trust again, then we can have all of the other love and commitment. And I think sometimes even having sex, you don't have to have the ability to trust, but it's when you have the interpersonal relationship where you share, you know, not only our bodies, but our minds and our personal thoughts and dreams and goals and vulnerabilities is when then we have that interpersonal romantic relationship. Make sense?
Oh, it makes sense. And I want to add something here. It goes back to what you should not do in a first date. Don't disclose all of this because I used to tell people about all of this stuff because I knew what I was actually doing was saying, you're going to leave me anyway, so I'm going to tell you all this crap and then it's going to scare you and you're going to go away. Okay, bye-bye.
Right.
And I literally would pour out my heart. And no wonder they ran.
No wonder they ran. I call it vomiting out.
Yes.
About you. And it's overwhelming. It's like the, you know, the plane ride where you're sitting next to someone and you're trapped. You need to listen to them. But then when the plane lands, you want to leave as fast as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, I think what people should do, Lisa, is it's like a book where you share a chapter of the book every single date. Not all at once, but every date.
Oh, Terry, I'm a real page turner. Let me tell you.
Lisa,
like War and Peace. There is so much. It's going to be good.
One chapter at a time, right?
Yes, it'd be very, we need lots of dates to fully get through all of the chapters. So I'm game. That's perfect. I love it, Terry.
Absolutely. Now, I know you say, Lisa, always, I know you're a motivational speaker, by the way, and I've heard you say, embrace the power of you. Help us understand, what does this mean?
I always used to think of myself as a little bit of a superhero. And when, again, things were going on with me as a kid, I used to say, you are so powerful. You can do this. And I would say these words in my head so that I could get through whatever was happening to me. And I realized that some people, when you say this outside, like, I am fabulous, I am great, and everything, they consider you narcissistic. But I needed to have that kind of positive reinforcement in my own head in order to get through a lot of things. So the power of you is about harnessing that small voice inside that says, I know you can do it.
Mm.
You are important.
So what can I say, what can listeners say to do exactly harness the power of you?
You have to come up with something that resonates with you. So if, you know, taking a walk through the park resonates with you, if going to see your favorite band on the weekend resonates with you and makes you realize, you know, who you are as a person, just something that's very authentic to you. Okay. Something that's authentic. For me, it's talking to myself in my own head going, you can do this, Lisa, you can do this.
So it doesn't have to be talking to ourselves. It can be taking a walk, like you said, or even listening to music that allows me to embrace or harness who I am and feel more confident with myself.
Absolutely. And then when you're more confident with yourself, you are more attractive to others, right? Because you sort of exude, here's somebody who's put together. You know, I'm not perfect, but I'm put together enough to say, I want to sit with you and connect. You know, that's the real big thing when it comes to owning who you are inside and knowing, like you said, not to vomit up your whole life story on the first date, not even the second date. Okay, so finding out who you are just has to do with what skills do I have? Where do I feel the most comfortable? What is resonating with me that speaks to who I am? Okay.
That is so powerful and very insightful. A great strategy for all of us to become more confident. Now, have you seen that then as you embrace the power of you, Lisa Jeswin, that you see a difference in your interpersonal relationships with other people?
Yeah, I don't go to a second date if I don't feel it's clicking. I know. I just know on a first date.
So part of it is then listening to your gut.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, and that's important. I don't think we listen to our gut enough, Lisa. I think that we see flags sometimes with other people and we know something might not be right, but then we say, oh, I don't know. Oh, maybe. Who knows?
Or you get people who say, oh, you have to give him 3 dates. Why? Yes. Are you dating him? No, I am.
Actually, though, I told my daughter the other day to do that. So you're
what?
Right. Maybe I know.
Terry.
Well, because sometimes I think what we do is we go into a first date and we see what we want to see. And we don't see what the reality of that person is. And so sometimes I think we need to give a person another chance. And that to me, Lisa, isn't not listening to your gut, but it's giving that person another chance, so to speak, where maybe they were nervous, maybe they had a bad day, but give them another chance and who knows? That's a little bit different to me, Lisa.
All right. Look at me.
All right.
Yep.
Now, Lisa, as you know, I've been studying what keeps couples together.
Yes.
And what breaks couples apart for the past 30 years. And at the end of all my interviews, I'm going to be asking my guests what they think is the most important factor that keeps couples together and happy. So for you, Lisa Jeswin, what's the most important thing in a happy relationship for you?
I think individual independence.
So that you can do what you want to do or be your own person?
Be your own person. Like own that if somebody is independent and let's say your husband goes and likes golf and then you like and you like to go to yoga or whatever it is, not constantly going, oh, you're going to golf again. As long as you guys have outside activities and you're independent that way, I think it's great. I think it allows you to stay closer as a couple when you have your own independent activities. You were somebody before they came along and you need to honor that side as well.
I love it. So having me time, having my own interests and being your genuine self.
Correct.
Love it, Lisa. Great tip and strategy and great thing, I think, factor that leads to happy, healthy relationships. Well, we are all out of time, believe it or not. I know. Maybe you'll come back again.
I'd love to.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much for joining us, Lisa. I always love talking to you. And listeners, the best way to connect with Lisa is through her email address at lisajeswin@me.com or on her Facebook page, which is intuitiveyou.net. And don't forget, she also has an Empower Radio program called Real Life with Lisa Jeswin. So be sure to check out her inspiring program as well. Yay is right. I agree. Now, as always, thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor Is In program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships be the best they can be. My website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where you can sign up for my free monthly newsletter, where I provide you with simple, practical, science-based relationship advice. And until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.